And we invite the Holy Spirit to come and be in this place. We invite your presence here, Lord. And Father, we are believing for revelation knowledge. Knowledge that will open the eyes of our heart and help us to step up spiritually. And we come thanking you because that is your will. That's what you said in your word, that you desire all men to be saved and all men to come to the knowledge, the revelation of the truth. And so, Father, we thank you this morning for helping us, for being here, for working in our midst. And we give you glory. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. A few weeks ago, we started a series on how to keep your healing. I've seen through the years people get healed. I mean, they're healed here. The symptoms are not there anymore. But they go away, and for whatever reason, they lose the healing. You know, I've had people tell me that when you laid hands on me, I felt the power of God go through me like electricity. And for days, I was perfectly all right. And then now every symptom's come back on me, and really I'm worse than I was before. You know, and what they're doing is they're coming and they're saying, "Can you help me?" Yeah. So, you know, I can say, you know, if you'll listen to me, if you'll listen to me, yeah, I can help you. If you listen to her, yeah, we can help you. Yes, on Wednesday night, she's been ministering on healing for weeks and weeks. Yes, and I'd like to put it in a book and sell it. Make it, you know, publish it for people to get it. Yes. You see, when you were healed on somebody else's faith or by a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, that's then you don't have to have a foundation or, excuse me, you didn't have a foundation in the Word to help you to keep from losing the healing. And that's part of the problem here. You know, those people are like the man that built the house on sand. The storm came and knocked the whole thing down. Symptoms came and the devil camouflaged it. Camouflaged your sickness and you accepted it. And he put it back on you. You say, "Well, I didn't accept it." Did you resist? Yeah. Did you fight? Yes. If you didn't.
Yes, amen.
I tell people that the thing you have to do is to get to know who you are through the Word. And you know, it's not difficult. It's not so time-consuming like some people think. I think sometimes people say, "Well, you know, I just don't have time." I think you give yourself too much credit. You're really not that important. You really do have more time than you think you have. I mean, let's just be honest.
Yeah. That's good, that's Pastor.
Good. Yeah.
That's humble.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me get off of that before I get in trouble. More trouble. Somebody asked Smith Wigglesworth one time. He was a British minister. And he grew to the point where he had a worldwide ministry. He was known around the world, and he's still known today. I mean, his books
are in the top sellers still. And somebody asked Smith about, how do you get to know God? How do you get to know the Lord? And his answer was so simple. You know, people think, oh, I fast, I do this. No, he said, you can't understand God by feeling. You can't understand him by your feeling. You can't understand Jesus by your feeling. He says, I understand God by what the Word tells me about him.
Amen.
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 Not some other book. The Bible.
That's right.
Lord got on me one time. He says, you know, you've got a lot of unbelief in your library and you need to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And I knew exactly what he was talking about. There have been some books that I've started reading, and I knew inside, put this nasty thing down. And I'd keep reading a little bit long, and I kept getting that, put this down. You don't have to be a spiritual giant to figure out some things. He is what the Word says he is. And he will always be what the Word says he is. You know, when you know that by his stripes you were healed, because that's what the Word says. When you know that when you know that surely he himself took my diseases. He bore my pains. He carried them. When you know himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. When you know that in your spirit as well as you know it's 2 and 2 is 4. The power, then the devil has no power over you. When you know the power and authority in the name of Jesus, and that you have a biblical right, you have a right as a believer.
Amen.
To use his name, that at the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Then the devil has no power over you. When symptoms come, now listen to me. You know, there's people that will put on a good show when they come in here, and they act real spiritual. But you know, when the stuff hits the fan, they don't act so spiritual.
Yes, amen.
And that's not right. When symptoms come, you know, when you know these things, like I just got to talk about, when you know these things, you'll not be filled with fear.
Yeah.
You will simply laugh at the devil and say, devil, don't you know you're whipped?
Yeah.
You're already defeated. You're under my feet. That's what God said.
Yes.
Don't you know that? We went to a service one time. We were on vacation in Denver, in Colorado. And we drove back into Denver. We would always take the children to church on Sunday. And we would go into Happy Church. Marilyn Hickey's, her and her husband were pastors. And this particular time we went in, somebody was at the door, and they had a sticky tab. You know, a little square, and they would pull off the sticky tab and give it to everybody that came in, and they said, now hang on to this, you'll be told what to do with it. So Marilyn got up, and she said, I want you to write your name, write the devil's name on the sticky tab, and I want you to pick up your foot and stick that right there on the bottom of your foot, and then take it.
There you go.
That's right.
And then, you know, she went on with the service, and it was, that was what it was about, putting him under your feet.
Amen.
Or keeping, no, not keep, it was keeping him. He's already put there, but you got to keep him there. The things that you wanted, the problems you were dealing with, put that on your foot, on the bottom of your, on that tab. You know, you need to take your hand, you take your hand off my body, and in the name of Jesus, you leave. Oral Roberts, when he was ministering, he made this little mini book. And the title of it was "Devil, Take Your Hands Off of Me. I'm God's Property."
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little thing. It's real thin, but it is so powerful.
Yeah.
You know, we've had people tell us, you know, I've done that. I've resisted the devil, and he didn't flee.
Yeah.
I want you to stop and think real close. Stop. Think what I'm saying.
That's good.
They have told me.
Yeah.
They've told Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
We resisted the devil, but he didn't flee. My question has always been, who told you he didn't flee? If you're going to go by symptoms in your body, the devil will always cause symptoms to continue to look like he's there. My question after hearing these people tell me, you know, I told him, leave. My question has always been, after you gave him a command to take his hands off of you, did you break out into praise and begin dancing and giving glory to God and shouting hallelujah?
Yeah.
Or did you just keep going, oh, it's still there. It's still there. Oh, Lord, it's still there. He's got you running in a circle like a... It's so funny to watch my dog chase his tail.
Yeah.
I tell him, I said, you know, if you ever catch that, you're going to be sorry you caught it. But if you're going to chase the symptoms and not the word, he's going to keep you whipped. I want to do something this morning that I want to share with you some of the things that we learned when we were going to school. Brother Hagin was our mentor for 2 years. There at, you know, we were sitting there listening to him. And every day we were there, and you know, when we came here, we had some of the teachers come and minister here, and each time we would be sitting at the table, and before they left, I'd tell them, would you please tell Brother Hagin the things that he taught us has kept us alive. I mean, literally. There were things that we would have to fight, and, you know. Those things that he taught us were like a diamond. It was that valuable to us. So I want to share some of the things that he related to us. I mean, they're just such rich nuggets. If you will take hold of them, you know, I worked midnight shifts, not midnight, I'd work till midnight. You know, the school would let out, and I'd go in, and I was a custodian. And I'd get home about 1 in the morning, and get up at, oh, dear God, 6, get ready to go to school. And I would get in there, and, you know, we're up close to the front.
That's always good.
Yeah, it is, because you know they'd go by alphabet, so we're up close. And I would, you know, before class would get started, I'd look back at the back, and there's some yahoo sitting up against the wall, you know, leaning against the wall, reading a hot rod magazine. I thought, what an idiot. You're sitting here listening to these people that Brother Hagin approved of to sit in front of us and teach us.
Amen.
A lot of them were first-year graduates that had gone out and pastored or been itinerant ministers, and now he's got them back in here, and they're teaching us.
Yeah.
Other people were friends of his that had been in the ministry, and just, I mean, they just serve up, oh, my goodness, such meals. And I thought, I look at these guys back at the back, I thought, what a dummy. You're sitting there listening to that, looking at those hot rod magazines, and you're not listening to what these men and women of God are telling us. I thought, well, I'm not going to be one of those. And we walked away with just, anyway, Brother Hagin told us of an account that one time he was ministering in New York, and they had set it up where he would go around to all the different places in New York that wanted him. He was ministering in the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship for several weeks, and after one of the meetings, one of the services, these three ladies came to him. There were three Methodist ladies that came to him after one of the services and said, you know, we're new at this. And that was back during the charismatic move. And they came up and said this to him. And one of the ladies told him that she had gone to a doctor, and the doctor had sent her to a hospital in New York City because he couldn't determine what it was that she had. So this lady, after being in the hospital for 5 weeks, not days, not hours, weeks, the specialist came back to her and told her, you know, we have found out what it is that you have, but it's incurable. And they told her the name, you know, of what she had, and it was, you know, about this long. And in all of the medical history, there were only 7 or 8 people in the world, not in the United States, in the world that had ever had this. And the doctor told her, he said, I don't know exactly how long you have to live, but I do know that in at least 10 years you'll be dead. Gee, thanks for your bedside manner there. So this lady said, you know, somebody told us about some wonderful meetings that were taking place in Pittsburgh, and so she went. And from what we gathered, this was probably Catherine Kuhlman's meetings, because she lived in that area, and she would have meetings there, and then she would fly to L.A. to have meetings there, you know. I mean, this is just a regular thing, back and forth between these places, in between where she would go in other places. But these were two of the regulars. And so she would have these meetings in Philadelphia. And she said in the first service she attended, the Spirit of God operated in this evangelist, and she pointed up to an area in the balcony. I don't know if it's in the balcony or anyway, she pointed where this lady was sitting. And this evangelist said, there's a lady over there that has a very rare disease. In fact, medical science says there's only been 7 or 8 people in the world that have ever had this. And she said, when she said that, I was instantly healed. Bam. Right then, she was healed. She said, I went back to the specialist. They ran every test, because now they know where to look and they know what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And they ran all these tests, but they couldn't find it.
Praise God.
They said, I don't know what happened. I can't figure out. I don't understand this. What? It's gone. And she said, for months after that, I felt great. I felt better than I've ever felt. But now, every symptom has come back on me. She said, I haven't told anyone, but I'm even worse than I was before. Next thing she says, can you help me? Brother Hagin says, yeah, I can help you. He told her, he said, come here and let me put my hands on you and pray for you and cast that thing out.
No.
You see, that's what a lot of people want. They want the spectacular. They want the big, you know. She said, can I help you? And he said, yeah, I can. He said, he told her, you see, you were healed by a special manifestation from that evangelist. Something initiated by the Spirit of God. And we thank God for it. I mean, we're not making light of that by any means. But often, after you go back home, you're on your own. You are on your own. And Satan took advantage of what you didn't know and began putting the symptoms back on you. And instead of resisting them, you accepted them.
Yes.
You know, like she said, this is all new to us. You're having denominational people that have never heard squat, and they're coming and they're seeing the spectacular, the miracles and everything. They get healed and they go home, or some of them go back to their dead church.
Yep.
And the enemy takes advantage of them.
Yeah.
He told her, get in the Bible teaching services like you see here. You've been in all week. Get in those and stay in there. Mm-hmm. In the mornings, he would teach faith. In the evenings, he would teach healing. So she did. Her and her friends followed him around from New York City to all over New York. They had the money, I guess, to do that. And they followed him all over the place and got in all of his services in the mornings and the evenings. When Brother Hagin finished up with these meetings in New York, this lady came to him again. And she said to him, Brother Hagin, I am completely healed. I am completely symptom-free. They've all disappeared. And she said, now, this time, I got it on my own faith. And on top of that, I know how to get other people healed now. What happened to this woman? What happened to hers happens to a lot of people. You know, it's easy to get healed in a mass meeting where there's a lot of faith and people are believing. And, you know, you've got a lot of people there. Others, they get healed through a special manifestation of the gifts of healings, gifts of miracles, whatever. They get healed in something like that, and they go home. And when they get back home, they're on their own. I mean, really on their own. And they're not surrounded by faith. A lot of times they're surrounded by raw unbelief. And you would think it should not be among believers, but that's what we've seen. And then the minute the first symptom shows up, they say, I thought I was healed. I guess I'm not. You know, bless their hearts, there's people that get aggravated with me talking so much about saying what you say, you know, how, you know, they get tired of it. But bless your heart, I'm doing my best to get across to you how to keep from getting whipped on by the devil. How to keep what you get. And it is so simple, but people don't want simple. They want difficult. If that were the case, you'd really be in trouble. But they say, I thought I was healed, but I guess I'm not. And when they say that, they open the door for the devil. Instead of raising up and meeting him with the word and commanding his power to be broken, they yield. Why? Why? Because they have no foundation of the word in their lives, and they're depending on others to carry them around on their faith and their prayers. What happens when those people are not around to help you? What are you going to do then? Let me throw one thing in here for you. Lydia was making something in the other day, making a soup, and she threw this and threw that, and we have out on the deck, we've got herbs and this and that, and she went out and pick, and threw all this stuff in there, and whoo! She didn't put any of the hot stuff in there, but she put a lot of good tasting stuff. I want to add something to you. You know, we put up with you for years. You put up with us for years.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
And, you know, if you don't know by now we love you.
Yes.
Then I don't know what it's going to take.
Yes.
But for those of you that have figured that out, let me give you something to do.
Yes.
Check your attitude. I was laying in the bed this morning praying over something Dr. Jacob had said to me. And, you know, it was quiet. Benji was asleep. He wasn't even snoring. He was just still. And so I was talking to the Lord, and he was saying something to me, and it had to do with that attitude. I thought, ooh. Check your attitude. How is your attitude towards me? How is your attitude towards Lydia, Pastor Lydia? You know, there were times when I was growing up, my dad would pull me aside and say some things to me that were, they rubbed me the wrong way. Boy, did they rub me the wrong way. Because I knew he was telling me the truth.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like a lot of teenagers, they think, they don't know anything, you know. He's old and bald, you know. But I tell you what, when I got into the military, my old and bald father became Einstein. I tell you, I began to encounter things that he had already talked to me about, and I thought, thank you, Dad. But, you know, we're trying to give you things that will help you. And attitude can get you in trouble. It can break the circuit where you don't receive. The power won't flow. So, you know, and it doesn't cost you anything to check your attitude and to make corrections.
Amen, that's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Anyway, moving right along, get off of that. Anyway, back to why do these people do some of these things? Is because they have no foundation in the Word in their lives. And see, that's what we've been putting into you, for most of you that have been here with us for years. We've been putting a foundation under you.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, amen.
If you'll just receive it and do it.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
These other people, you know, why did they do that? Because they're depending on other people.
Yes.
Well, you have to come to the place where you are not dependent. But you know how to stand up on your own feet. You know, these things of depending on other people, they might work temporarily. They might work temporarily, but a permanent healing will be based on your own faith. No one can maintain a healing which has not come as a result of, let me back up. A person cannot maintain a healing that came from somebody else's faith or the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes, amen.
I mean, it's a good jump start. It'll help you, but it won't be a consistent thing with you unless your faith is developed through the Word of God to the point where you can stand up.
Yeah.
You can maintain it on your own rights. We have to learn to say, devil, you can't put that back on me. The Lord healed me.
Yes, he did.
The Lord has already healed me and I won't accept it. Now you see, something so simple as that, when it comes from faith in your heart, not just out of your head, not just because I said to say it, but it's in you. When you start talking to the devil like that, he's going to go, whoa, where you been? Brother, F.F. Bosworth made a statement. Healing is the dinner bell to salvation. He would, one of the old books that he had would show him, he would be in a convention center. And they were all the time having to move to bigger and bigger places. He would start teaching healing every evening, every day, until people started getting healed. He would be teaching along, you know, going along, and there would be people that were deaf in one ears. They'd jump up and shout. They were, they were happy. The ear popped open that had never been open. People would start getting healed because they were hearing the Word. And people would start popping up. Not on the gifts of the Spirit, on the Word of God. Now he did have an anointing. He would pray for people that were deaf, you know, that had problems hearing. He would pray for them and they would always get healed. Boom, just boom, boom, boom. And even people that had the eardrum removed. You got to have an eardrum to hear.
Yeah.
And so that was the gift that was in him. Yeah. Healing their hearing. And God would create a new eardrum.
Amen.
But what I'm talking about is they were just getting healed hearing the Word. Night after night after night after night they would hear the Word. Just the plain old raw Word of God.
The anointing on the Word.
The anointing on the Word, that's it. And they were getting healed. The healing brings people in, but like a new convert has to get established in the Word of God if they're going to keep going on. In the same way, people who get healed need to be established in the Word to maintain or to stay healed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Here's another one of those gems that Brother Hagin would give us. He said, he told us about a number of people that he had seen healed in his pastoral ministry. And he said one day he was walking downtown. He had gone downtown to take care of some business. Now, imagine this. This was back in the 30s, 1930s, somewhere in there. And you've all probably driven through some of these small rural towns that have vacant lots. Yeah. You know, they've torn down something and there's just grass growing. And back then, they didn't have all the, what would you call it? The city ordinances and things like that. He was walking past this lot, and the grass was pretty deep. And there was a man out there staking his cow on that lot so the cow would feed on the grass. And he said, Brother Hagin was telling us, the man was 63, the guy that was doing the staking, and he had been a backslider for 25 years. Brother Hagin had a meeting in that church. I guess he was pastoring there, and he had had a church had a meeting there, special meeting, and the man had come and gotten back with the Lord. He'd been backslidden for years. He came and got restored, and Brother Hagin laid his hands on him, and he was healed, completely healed, and that was 8 months prior to this instance. Brother Hagin walked up to the man, and the man was he saw him coming, and he was trying to get up, trying to stand upright. And Brother Hagin put out his hand to take hold of him, and he goes, no, don't touch me. That'll make it worse. And it took him about 5-10 minutes for the man to stand up straight. He told Brother Hagin, he says, now these are his words, that old rheumatism has come back on me. That old rheumatism, he's talking about it like it's his relative or something. Yeah. That old rheumatism has come back on me. Now I want you to follow this conversation, because the order and the things that are said will help you. Brother Hagin says, what happened? And the man told him the other day, day before yesterday, he was out working, and he said a pain hit him in the hand, went up the arm and into the back, and he said, ever since then, I've been in pain. I can't bend down. When I bend down, I can't get back up. Brother Hagin said to him, he says, you know, I prayed for you 8 months ago and you were healed. The man said, it did. Brother Hagin said, well, how come it came back in? Mm-hmm. The man said, I don't know. Brother Hagin told him, he says, I guarantee you that when that first pain struck you in the hand, and you said to yourself, or maybe you said it out loud, I thought the Lord healed me. I guess he didn't. Did you hear me? I thought the Lord healed me, but I guess he didn't. Brother Hagin, Brother Hagin told him that, and he says, you know, you must be a mind reader. That's exactly what I said. Brother Hagin came back at him and he said, you know, I knew you had to open the door for the devil to get back in, or he couldn't have got back in and put that on you. Now, if I come up, how's your arm?
It's good.
You know, if I took a needle or something and jabbed in there, is his arm still good? I mean, you know, that's a temporary, take a little needle, a little pin. That's just a temporary thing.
Sweating fly.
It's really not a problem other than that momentary pain. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's just a temporary thing. What the enemy was doing to this man was putting a temporary pain on him, trying to provoke a response. And when he gave the response, the devil said, jackpot! I'm back in. Bingo! The man said, that's exactly what I said. So Brother Hagin explained, when you said that, you opened the door and you said, come on in, devil, put it back on me. And he obliged you. Now, let me stop right here. You say, well, I know how to do that. I won't say anything. But silence is just like inviting him. You've got to make a personal declaration with your own lips. You aren't going to put that on me because I don't receive it in the name of Jesus. You know, one time we were in Spain, and I asked my brother-in-law if we could go to, they had a place, it's what we would call Walmart, only like 3 or 4 times bigger. I mean, one of the big super jobs. This thing was enormous. I mean, it had all kinds of stuff in there. And so we did our shopping and went out and got in the car. And I was sitting in the front seat with my brother-in-law and Lydia. And I don't know if the kids came with us, the children, or it was just your sisters. Anyway, Lydia was sitting on the row behind me, when we were driving. So anyway, I got in the car, and I closed the door. You know, the door behind me was a sliding door. And I closed the door, and suddenly I hear this scream. And I turned around and looked, and Lydia, I had never, in all the years we'd been married, ever, I think back then it was 40 years, I had never heard her scream, ever. And she screamed bloody murder. And I turned around, look, and I opened the door real quick. I had closed the door on her fingers. Now, she's sitting back there with a sister that studied medicine, went, you know, to be a doctor. And the other one was what is it you do?
Psychologist.
She's studied to be a shrink. Psychologist. And so the one that was studied to be the doctor, she says, oh, we need to take you to the hospital. You probably broke your fingers. You might have broken more than one. And all the way home, all the way back to her parents' house, I hear her back there talking the word, speaking the word. Saying, no, and it slammed on her fingers real hard. And her hand was red. Was it red?
I had even forgotten about that.
They were telling her, you probably broke something. It's the way he slammed the door, it's probably broken. All the way home, she kept speaking the word. And by the time we got back to the house, which was a 20-minute drive, she was going like this. She says, no, it's not broke. My God,
amen.
The Lord is my healer.
Amen.
She kept talking the word.
Amen.
had forgotten about that.
The mind works like that. It tries to put out bad images.
It's how many times the Lord has done great things for us.
Yes.
The man, you know, Brother Hagin said, when you did that, you opened the door, and that's how he got back in. And this man said, that's exactly what I said. Exactly. Brother Hagin explained, he said that when you said that, you opened the door.
Yeah.
The devil didn't open it. The devil can't open it. You have to open it.
Yeah.
And by the words of your mouth, you open or shut it.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to pay close attention to this, because this is why a lot of people, this is the way a lot of people think. Okay? Everybody hold your hand up. Say, Pastor,
I love you.
I will not take offense. Thank you. I'll hold you to that. This is the way a lot of people think, because this is the way we have found it to be true in a lot of places, and even here in Dodge. This man comes back at Brother Hagin and says, "Yeah, but let me tell you what I think." Let me tell you what I believe. A lot of people want to do that. I don't care what you believe.
Right.
What you believe isn't worth squat if it doesn't match this.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, people think, well, my opinion is valuable.
Yeah.
You need to listen to what I say. Mm, no.
Yeah.
That's what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden.
Yeah.
This man came back and he said, "Yeah, but I'll tell you what I believe. I believe if God ever does anything, it's done.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
If God ever heals anybody, they're healed forever."
Yeah.
Come on. That's what they believe.
Brother Hagin, Dad Hagin, said to this man, he says, "You mean if somebody ever gets healed, then he's always healed?" "Yes, that's what I believe."
Yeah.
Brother Hagin said to him, "Well, isn't that something? Poor old Jesus didn't know that. He didn't know you could lose your healing or the blessings of God." He said, when Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, he gave John a message for one of the churches in Asia Minor.
Yep, yep, yep.
And he told him, he said, "Tell them, hold fast to what you have."
Yep.
Amen. Yes.
Yes.
Hold fast.
That's right.
Let me just read it. Romans 2:25. "But hold fast what you have till I come." Oh, it starts with an R. Revelation 2:25. This is the New King James. "Hold fast what you have till I come." Revelation 3:11. "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have that no one take your crown."
Amen.
Why? Why? Why hold fast if you can't lose it? Think about it. Hold fast. He says, because there's an enemy arrayed against us that's trying to steal everything he can from you. That's why you've got to hold fast. That's why you can hold fast. Now listen to this. Brother Hagin asked this man, "When I laid hands on you back there 8 or 9 months ago, how long had you had this condition? He said, well, I was in pain and took pain medicine every day for 25 years. Isn't that something? He had been a backslider for 25 years. Just a thought. I was in pain and took medicine for pain every day for 25 years. Brother Hagin said to him, then I laid hands on you in the name of Jesus and every pain disappeared. And for 9 months, you haven't had one pain, not one symptom, and you haven't taken anything for pain? Not a thing. Not a pain, not a symptom. Brother Hagin asked him, he says, and you said, I thought the Lord healed me? Brother Hagin told him, he says, you know, a 12-year-old child with half sense could figure that one out. He would know he had been healed.
Yes.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Brother Hagin stood there and taught that man on that vacant lot. He said he taught him for over an hour about how to keep your healing. And he said he got it. And he didn't ever lose his healing again. Now, let me close with this. One thing that will greatly help you, okay? One thing that will greatly help you is to believe what the Word says about you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I can do what the Word says I can do.
Amen.
I am what the Word says I am. Let me give you three or four scriptures here, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. He says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us. You need to really get focused on that us. He's not talking about me and you, me and Mike, me and Richard. He's talking about us and Jesus. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1, and look in verse 19.
Yeah.
And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. See, at the same time He raised Christ, it says He raised us with Him. And it says, and what is, which he, talking about the power that God used to do that, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Now get this, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name, notice, and every name that is named. Do you know cancer is a name? Cancer is a name that sends fear through people when the doctor says it to them. But here, he says we are seated in a position of power far above that name. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The church, which is his body. Baby, could you come up here a second? Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, I want you to see. This is the Lord. Say hi, Lord.
Hi. Be blessed.
Okay. She is the head. He is the head. Jesus is the head. You know, you don't see her going around town just... You see all of her when she goes around town. He is the head of the body. The body, pick up your bottom of your foot.
One at a time.
Did you see that?
Can't fly yet, yeah.
This is the body of Christ.
Yes.
You are the body of Christ.
Yes.
You are seated with the head at the right hand.
Yes, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Far above.
Far above.
Far.
Yes.
Above.
Yes.
All, everything else.
Everything.
But notice, here's the head, the Lord Jesus, and he's the head of the body.
Yes.
And he has put all things under our feet. You know, one of the things that I find in the church among believers, when the enemy comes around, they have been listening, the people, believers, have been listening to the devil's PR people. You understand what I'm saying? He is such a good liar. He has convinced a lot of Christians, oh, the devil is so big. And Jesus, well, we'll see him one day. And I'm in the middle, and I'm subject to the devil. That's not what the Word says. It is just the opposite. If Jesus is seated in the place of authority in heaven, and we are the body.
Yes, amen.
I'm reading it to you right out of the book. I'm not making this up.
Yeah.
My goodness. Considering the fact that I am the body, and I've been seated far above all of these things, why in the world should I even flinch when the devil shows up? I don't understand that. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read this to you from the Passion Translation. I want you to listen to this real close. And if you don't have a Passion Translation, I would suggest that would be something to splurge on. It would be really good for you. Romans 5, 17 and 18. Death once held us in its grip. And by the blunder of one man, death reigned, talking about Adam, death reigned as king over humanity. But now, glory to God, but now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our legal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah. Verse 18. In other words, Just as condemnation came upon all people through one transgression, so through one righteous act of Jesus, Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect righteousness that makes us right with God and leads us to a victorious life is now available to all.
Yes.
You know, if you can't get up and shout over that, your wood is wet. John, 1 John 4:4. This is the passion. Little children, you can be certain that you belong to God and have conquered them. And have.
Yes. Yes.
Have conquered them.
Yeah.
For the one who is living in you is far greater than the one who's in the world. You know, you meditate on that and you get that down in your heart. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, the devil's going to go, oh, let's get out of here quick. 1 John 5:4, the Passion Translation. He says, you see, every child of God overcomes the world. And this is the faith. And, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. Let me read that again.
Yes.
You see, every child of God overcomes the world. Yes. For our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world.
Yes. So good. So good. Thank you.
See, you don't need to be... I just love hearing these stories. Smith Wigglesworth was staying in a house, staying in someone's house. You know, they didn't have a lot of hotels like we do today. And he was staying in this man's house, and the devil, during the night, the devil came, and he was standing at the foot of the bed. And Smith woke up, and he sits up, and he goes, oh, it's just you. For a lot of Christians that I know, they would have had to change the sheets because they would have been peed in. That's the truth. I'm not exaggerating. That's the way some people are just so scared of the devil. The height of insult. Oh, it's just you. Laid back down and went to sleep. Lester Sumrall. He was I don't remember where it was. Anyway, he was staying in this house. You know, it's one of the same kind of a situation. And they ran around together, Smith and Lester. And Lester was in this bed, and during the night, the bed started tapping, started wiggling. I don't mean just the mattress. I mean the whole bed frame is bouncing like this. And the bed slid across the floor into the middle of the floor. You know, it was a spirit that was doing this. And Lester said, no, I'm not going to get up and put this bed back. You put it back now in the name of Jesus. Zip. Given a name far above every name. And I have possession of the name. I have a legal right to the name. Why in the world would a believer that knows the word tremble at somebody that's going to spend eternity in hell or in the lake of fire? You know, Smith Wigglesworth gave the devil a supreme insult. Here's how you can insult the devil. Ha ha. Brother Hagin was battling with some symptoms. He was holding a meeting for this man, and he was staying in their house in a bedroom, separate bedroom. And he had been fighting these symptoms for a while, and the Lord was dealing with him about how to deal with him. And he started laughing. He pulled the sheet up, the blanket up over his head, and started laughing. Ha ha ha, ha ha. You know, he had to keep it down because he'd wake up people in the house. Ha 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 ha. And he said, "I put that about that much emphasis in it. Ha 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 ha." And he said, "Finally, the devil asked him. He says, 'What are you laughing about?'" He said, "I'm laughing at you." Yeah. "Then why are you laughing at me?" He said, "Because you think you're going to put this symptom back on me." He says, "I am." He says, "No." He started laughing again. He said, "What are you laughing about?" He went through this about three times. And finally, he told the devil, he said, "You can't put it back on me. Jesus already took it."
That's right.
Yes. See, instead of worrying, he got proactive. Started laughing at the devil. And, you know, somebody that has held a place like the devil had at one time, for a mortal to laugh at him, what an insult.
Yes.
But I'm not a mere mortal. I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. Let's all stand.
I kept thinking about this summer when we went to Spain. Right the day before, Mike Weber came, and you could hardly walk. And we came in agreement with you. Pastor prayed for you. You had, what is it that you had been doing? Pulling trees, thinking that you... That you were Superman. That's what you're saying. And you hurt yourself. Your wife knew it, and both of you came. Anyway, this is going to get funny. That's why it's worth keeping you a little bit. But it's for you to know that you can have these things happen to you.
Yeah.
Too. Amen? We're going to let that word that Joe Morris spoke over you about what was a powerful, radical, crazy faith, the spirit of faith. And that is the DNA of this church. Anyway, so we prayed for you. And you know what? Instantly, brother, and I say this to give glory to God, you started doing what you could not do and started walking. Anyway, so we had to leave, you know, because we had a vacation coming. Anyway, you wrote us a confession based on your faith of what you had committed to the Lord. You sent it to both of us in a text. We came in agreement with you. So we're in Spain, and the Ketans come and minister to you, remember? And Amanda told us, because we talked on the phone, he said, Brother Larry Keaton was ministering and calls Mike to come. You forgot about that too? Yeah, now you remember. Okay, I was not here, who wants to say exactly? Anyway, he called on you, and I guess he threw all the weight of him on you. He did not know how he had hurt himself. And so we're hearing this thing, and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus. Because I wanted to hear the rest of the story, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, no. And Pastor Jim says, Larry knows what he's doing. The confidence. The Spirit of God. Anyway, What happened?
I just caught him.
You just caught him. And I tell you, this is just to brag on the Lord.
Yes.
In all of us, yes. But in this case, in Brother Mike, because you could have said, no, I can't do that today.
Yes. I don't think he gave him the option. Well, did he say anything?
I don't think he told me what he's going to do. I didn't know he was going to do it.
You didn't know, but you went. And you know what? I believe the Lord used that even more to speed your healing.
Yeah.
And you went without fear, and you caught him.
Yeah. At least you didn't go,
I mean, it was all his body. You could hardly, I mean, when we prayed for you, you had some, right? Glory to God.
And a lot of other symptoms.
And a lot of other symptoms. But by faith, you took his healing.
Yes.
And you told us what you were believing for, and we agreed with you. Anyway, praise God. I thought that was just fun. Amanda tells that, I go, oh no, what happened? Pastor says, oh, Larry knows. He knows God.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. We don't have to take the news that the devil wants to give us.
That's right.
In any area of our lives. You don't have to take it. Amen. Get on to know the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah.
You are giant killers.
Yeah.
Every one of you.
That's right.
Amen. I just had to brag on Jesus and Brother Mike. and talking about things you forget and then you remember. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Let's pray. Father. Father, I thank you for your spirit. And Father, I ask you to give everyone here boldness this week. Boldness to invite people to come to these meetings with Richard Roberts. Tell these people, the Lord's healing people in our church. What's he doing in yours? Give them boldness to find people that you have prepared for them to invite them. People that are receptive. Father, I thank you for preparing the people and preparing our people. That they will have that boldness come on them and they'll get right there and talk to those people and tell them what the Lord wants to do in their life. And I thank you, Father, as the people in the book of Acts said, give us a spirit of boldness. Father, I ask you to bring that on us, that we would reach out to the people in this town that are hurting, that need the word, the people that need salvation. And that they'll have a boldness to step out and speak. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed with that says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, you're dismissed.